Hello, my people.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to the Mariage with the Maliers. Did you like that?
No.
We have an exciting episode for you today. What are we titling it?
We are titling it Do Not Lie.
Don't lie. Let's begin.
Welcome to Marriage with the Mullers, a conversation to help marriages heal, grow, and stay strong. To stay connected and to submit topics, follow us on Instagram at Marriage with the Mullers or visit our website at jdmuller.com. Let's get started. Here's JD and Alini Muller.
So, honey, what's something exciting that has happened since last episode?
Well, you know, I decided it would be fun to give my daughter a taste of what driving would feel like. How did you think that went?
I don't know. I wasn't there. She told me she was frantic. It's funny.
Listen, she freaked out.
I'm glad you did it, though. She should know the basic operations of a vehicle, in my opinion. Doesn't mean she's going to drive. She should know how it operates.
You know, I just thought she's gonna go for her permit in 3 years.
Yeah.
She has never had any kind of experience, and obviously we were safe and, you know,
yeah, you
empty
weren't
space. No, nowhere.
Or there were risks.
She could harm anybody.
Yeah.
But just wanted her to get a feel. I love driving. I love it. I've always loved it. I knew I was gonna get my car the moment I had the ability to. So I've always loved it.
What time did you start driving? At what age did you start driving? What time? 11 in the morning?
11 in the morning. 15 when I had my permit. Like, I didn't start before that.
Guess what age I started?
You were probably 4.
You know this because we've talked about this. Yes. But I started at 9.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the driver's seat. My dad would allow me to just guide the car. He started with the steering wheel. He would just say, all right, you take it. And there was this short drive between our house and his mother's house, my grandparents. And he would say, all right. And he would do that with all of us. So all of us started at 9. By the time I was 11, 12, I would get up in the morning on Saturdays and go wash the car, just so I could drive it out of the garage into the driveway.
Oh my gosh. It's like buying your way to driving it.
Exactly.
No, I didn't have that. But, you know, fun fact for all the listeners, I knew how to drive. I had my license. But when I moved to Brazil to marry the gentleman speaking today.
That's me.
The cars over there are all manual.
Yeah, not anymore, but they used to be.
But they used to be. And I did not know how to drive a manual car. So he has truly taught me how to drive a manual car.
You're welcome.
Yes. And the first day I drove one, I was on a hill with a bowl of fruit punch in the back seat.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
Heading to the youth event.
I forgot about that.
So if you've ever driven a manual, you know how much your car goes like... You know,
yeah,
like,
and the hills are steep.
And the hills are steep and like trying to maneuver that fast and slow and all of that.
Great.
Let's just say we spilled some.
Great story. Great story. Remember when I let you drive my dad's ice cream truck?
Yes.
It's not an ice cream truck like you think over here. It's like a whole refrigerator, massive truck that we used to transport.
Yes.
Ice cream to stores.
Yes. I drove it probably 200 feet. Yeah, I don't know. And I was awesome. Like, no.
Well, another thing that's special about today is that it is Christopher's 11th month.
It sure is.
Today, 11 months ago, you were delivering him.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they call it delivery?
Because the stork used to come deliver babies. Remember?
Because it's not DiGiorno. All right.
With that, we will move on.
This is our first segment. Tales, Tips, and Trends.
Tales, Tips, and Trends.
So today we have a tale, and you know it's true because it was on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed truthfulness.
Mm-hmm.
To somebody it is true, so.
Maybe.
Let's be supportive. One married couple moved to a new apartment, and the wife, after waking up, looked out the window and saw a woman, their neighbor, who was hanging out her linen to dry. And she said, look at her dirty linen. She told her husband, but continued to read the newspaper. He continued to read the newspaper and didn't pay attention to her words. And she thought, perhaps her soap is bad or she does not know how to wash. We got to teach her. And every time the neighboring woman was hanging out the linen, the wife was surprised at how dirty it was. Every day she was hanging out linen that was dirty. So one morning she looked to the window and screamed, oh my goodness, today the linen is pure. Probably she learned how to wash it at last. And she heard a voice say, no, that's not it. It was her husband. You know what he said? Today I woke up a little earlier than you and I washed our windows.
Moral of the story, remove the plank from your eyes before trying to remove the speck from your neighbor's.
Did you just come up with that?
Oh, I mean, wisdom beyond my years
that
over here.
That sounds like something you could tweet that people would repeat.
Yes, and they have for over 2,000 years.
Man, are you a time traveler?
The original Twitter.
Now listen, what it says is that sometimes what we see as a defect in others is a problem of our own perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole speck in the log, right?
I'll stop judging your neighbor.
The speck in the log. Jesus is so wise. Amazing. All right, what are we talking about today? We already shared. We're going to talk about not lying.
Don't you lie to me.
So why is this important, honey?
So one of the things that a lie does to a marriage is that it creates a certain level of distance.
Mm.
When you lie, it puts each of you on opposite ends.
Does every lie do that?
I believe so. I believe it creates a precedence.
Mm.
Little white lies that maybe aren't super significant initially, but if you did it once, you do it again. If you get away with it once. It's a character thing because I think that you learn to not confront things when it's uncomfortable instead of dealing with whatever it is that you're trying to lie about. It's the discomfort aspect, right?
Yeah.
And the more we learn to not get comfortable,
yeah,
the more we seek that.
Yeah.
You know, like we are designed in such a way that we want comfort. At yeah. all levels, it's not just in as it pertains to this, but mm-hmm. we seek comfort. And what happens is when you are in a situation where you consider lying, it's yeah. because you're uncomfortable. There's mm-hmm. a fear or there's mm-hmm. something there. You're going to be exposed or you feel yes. vulnerable or you feel, you know. And so because of that, you want to comfort yourself. You want to feel good instead. And so you tell a little lie.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's a great point because especially when it comes to not wanting to be exposed or trying to keep the peace. The thing is that when you talk about lying, you might be thinking, oh, they're talking about like big lies, massive lies, something big that you might be hiding or. But really, the truth is that every couple lies. I mean, have you lied to me?
Dun, 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 dun.
Confessions, marriage with the Millers.
Yes.
I know you have.
If I had said no, it would have been a lie right there. I have. You have.
Hey, why are you accusing me? I'm talking about you.
Yeah, of course. It's easy.
Deflection.
Uh-huh. But here's the actual thing.
No. Tell me about the lie. When did you lie to me?
Well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. So I might have said an outfit looked good when it didn't.
Oh, man. So here's what happens, guys. I preach on Sundays at our church, most Sundays. And I usually come down dressed up and I make a move with my hands, like showing my body. And it's usually typically funny, but it's like, And I'm really asking her, what do you think of this? And I want the final approval because my wife is fashionable. So you had, it was a Cardi, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was
probably.
It was the granny Cardi.
Probably.
I can pull it off.
No, I'm sorry.
Maybe if I lose 20 pounds, I can pull it off.
You know, here's the thing. In an attempt to not hurt people's feelings.
Yeah.
Don't you think you're getting away with it? I'll come back on you.
Oh, but boy.
In an attempt to not hurt your spouse's feelings, you might tell a white lie, little white lie, which I don't recommend because here's the difference. The difference is not whether it's a big lie or a small lie. The difference is the lie you're telling consequential or inconsequential?
Mm. What is the consequence?
Well, yeah, what's going to happen from that lie? Like, I didn't tell you, actually, that I didn't like the cardigan. It's inconsequential. It didn't make a difference. It's a preference. It's a taste.
Well, you said I looked good.
I said
so that's the lie.
The lie was, you look fine. I measure my response. Not going to lie. I said, it's fine.
That'll do.
You know? So it's inconsequential in the scope. However, there are lies that carry big consequence. But let's not just move forward, you know, Jadiel Miller.
Whoa, you used my original name.
When have you lied to me?
Honey, I've lied to you many times. I'm sorry. It's just a reality. In 21 years, I'm not even going to lie here to say that I've never lied to you. But I haven't lied to you in any major way. But there has been lunches and dinners that I've said, you know, they're delicious. Or maybe not the word delicious, but hey, this is great. But it wasn't encouraging great. And I don't want to be the typical, oh my gosh, the cooking, because we both cook and I'm a feminist. The right kind. But I'm talking about little things in the house like that, that sometimes you say something and then you realize, oh, that's actually not true. Or, oh, I exaggerated here. And it doesn't happen often, but it's usually typically, if you want to get underneath, it's typically related to approval because I'm a words person and I am a person who likes verbal affirmation.
Yeah.
So in order to avoid rejection, I will embellish sometimes. I try not to do that anymore because I've grown out of it, but that was a pattern early in our relationship.
Yeah. Oftentimes, our fear of being exposed or the feeling of being too vulnerable, we compensate by puffing ourselves up. That's where exaggeration comes in often. Yeah,
and for men, every man wants to be admired by his wife. Yeah. Every man wants to be the man when it comes to his wife. For you ladies listening, if he knows that you think he is awesome, that's the best, you know, for a guy. So you try to protect that. You try to protect your reputation with your wife. You try to impress your wife, which is kind of, it's interesting because, like, should you not try to impress your wife? Like, should you not want her to think, you know, you're awesome? Should you just let it all go? No. But should you lie to your wife in order for her to believe?
No, if there's anybody who's going to see it.
Yeah, and what is she believing in? Like, what is the game, the end game here?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, if there's anybody who sees you more than you see yourself, probably, is your spouse.
Now, here was my point with the little lies and something that I have learned in self-reflection and in conversations with other couples and other people in general, because this is a principle, it's a human principle, right? Not just a marriage principle. And what we've said here before is that typically, marriage issues are not actually marriage issues. They're individual issues that flare up in a marriage because you have a counterpart looking at you at the whole time. And that can be tremendously good. But I think the thing that really causes the derailment of the individual is the corruption that lies produce on somebody's character and integrity. It's the small little, you know, it's not the big lie. It's the thousand little lies that make you comfortable with them. And once you're comfortable with a level of lying, you're going to increase that. You're going to exaggerate more. You're going to bend a little more. You're going to try to make people be in awe of you, try to impress people. Insecurity grows. Other things grow. And that lie becomes a mechanism that you use. You begin to use those lies as a way for you to manipulate people's perspectives, and you think you're winning, but there's going to come a point where people are going to see through what you're saying, because if it looks like doo-doo, if it smells like doo-doo, mm-hmm.
it probably is.
And that's what lies are.
You know, it's interesting. And when you were talking about that, I can actually think of a person who was always exaggerating. Mm-hmm. Like, you ever talk to those people who are always exaggerating and their skills are just subpar?
Oh, yeah.
There's this joke within the friends like, oh, that's just so-and-so being so-and-so.
Yeah. Everybody right? loves to hear the story, but nobody believes it.
Nobody believes
and it. And they think that because everybody's amused, that they're actually impressed. They're not impressed, no. They're amused.
They're amused and everybody knows they're lying. And it becomes a character thing. Yeah. Like the next time they speak, you automatically doubt them and everything else too.
Yeah. It's so outrageous, but they don't realize it.
And it's interesting because you tell lies long enough, you start to believe it. You begin to believe what you're saying.
I think worse than believing it, the line that divides what is not true and what is true gets fuzzy. You begin to see everything in gray. There's no black and white anymore.
Well, because we're storytelling creatures, right?
Yes.
Our brain wants to connect the dots.
Yes.
And what lies do is it corrupts the story that you tell yourself, the story in your brain, and your brain wants to connect those dots. Yeah. So there's a discrepancy there.
It's what has surfaced during the pandemic as alternative truths.
Yeah.
It's when you are so convinced of your version of the story that it actually becomes true to you.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing that lies do in a relationship is that it damages trust.
So true. Talk about that a little bit.
There's a betrayal, right? You feel betrayed when somebody lies to you. You feel like either you can't be trusted with the truth or there's more to the story. There's more going on there.
How can somebody measure whether they are in that situation? Because I think that if you are in the web of lies, little lies, and you think all the major components are okay, I'm not cheating on my wife, we don't fight, but you're in the web of little lies, right? You lie about how much something cost. It cost $500. You tell them, oh, it was just $150. You lie about, you know, different things, conversations that you had. You lie about, you know, somebody hitting on you or things like that. That it seems like it's not consequential, but you're constantly lying. And you think that you're getting away with it. How can that person know that their spouse is actually onto them and that they should refocus?
I think one of the things is when you find that your spouse is verifying your answers.
And that's very interesting because that can come across as nagging or being doubtful. And this is not a gender thing. Guys nag too. Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, when like you tell them you did something and they go, did you really? Or they go check on it.
Yeah.
Or they verify with other people.
Yeah.
They verify your answers. They check. You know, it's like,
did you set the appointment? Yes, I did.
They check up on you.
Well, I called and you didn't.
Honestly, you know, when you're having to say, I promise I'll do it.
Yeah.
The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Yeah.
But if you are not a person where people take you for your word, you have to give extra assurances.
Yeah.
You have demonstrated yourself to be untrustworthy.
I love that you brought up the Jesus principle from the Sermon on the Mount, because when he said you shouldn't swear before God or anything under heaven, a lot of people think, oh, I shouldn't say I swear to God. Mm-mm. Oh, I shouldn't say I swear on my mother, because that's the problem. And what Jesus is actually saying is, no, you need to be truthful. Your word should be enough.
Yeah.
So in other words, he's saying value truth enough that you don't lie. And here's what I'm just going to say it. Can I just say something very simple that might cause the penny to drop on a lot of people's minds? Would you allow me to do that?
Say it.
After all, my name is on the podcast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. It's simply this. Lies make you a liar. Just stop and think about that for a minute. It's so obvious, but lies make you a liar. Most people, if you ask, are you a liar? What will they say?
No.
No. But if you lie all the time, guess what? You have to come to terms with the fact that you might be a liar.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
Stop it.
Here's a text in Proverbs 12:22 says this. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. I think that the main thing that we want to encourage you to focus on today is the little lies. Because the big lies, you know. You know you shouldn't. They're so obvious and they're so blatant. We don't have to belabor here. But I think the little lies that we tell, we justify them to ourselves because we don't know how to tell the truth. Because we think the truth is going to hurt. We think the truth is going to cause problems. We think the truth is going to reveal a side of us that we don't want to reveal. At least we don't know how to reveal properly.
Might be afraid to reveal.
So let's talk about that. How does one speak the truth properly? How can a husband or a wife approach their partner, approach their spouse with a piece of information that they want to share truthfully, but they feel like a lie would be a better fit so as not to damage the relationship?
I think we'll go back to, it is always a matter of how, with the focus on the goal, the solution, or what it is that you actually need from
That's really good.
This, right? Anything can be said.
That's really good.
If you know how to say it.
Yes.
For instance, honey, how do I look?
Always beautiful. Always.
I'm talking about you asking me. I'm giving an example.
Oh, I'm just thinking about you.
No. So, for instance, you come down the stairs with your cardigan.
Yes.
Which I don't necessarily love. And I can say, it's fine. Or I can say, well, honey, I think you have other shirts that look better on you.
You have better options.
You have better options.
Yeah.
I know this is just a minor example, but there are many people listening, I am sure, that have told lies because of their fear of being exposed.
I'm so glad you said fear, because I was thinking about that.
Yeah. Fear of being exposed. And the reality is this. In a marriage, intimacy grows through exposure.
Mm.
It grows as you begin to reveal who you genuinely are.
You can tweet that. That's tweetable.
And if you continue to hide, that will chip away of your intimacy, your intimacy. So how do you not do that? You focus on what you need to say sincerely without targeting your spouse.
Here's why that's so good. And you need to know this, listener. That is so good because in our human experience, our negative emotions tend to dominate our thoughts. When there's a conflict within, our negative emotions tend to dominate our thoughts. And whatever you fear is usually going to control the narrative. And fear will lead you to lie. Insecurity will lead you to lie. Because that's what you're thinking about. What are they going to think? Don't think about that. Think about the solution. What is the end goal? What is the end desire here? Talk about that. Talk about the bigger picture. Explain. Take time to explain rather than justify.
Yeah.
That's really important. Take time to think about what you're going to say and do not let fear lead the narrative. Yeah. But look at what's right. Look at what's good. Look at what's profitable and focus on that. A simple example that Eleni just gave is redirection, right? It's not about how you look. It's about how you can look.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I just say you look terrible, I'm hurting your feelings. You don't have to say, you look terrible. You answer with the objective. I know you're asking me because you want to look good. Hey, there are other options that will make you achieve that objective. Yeah. So you can take that example and you can extrapolate to so many other areas of your life. You can just rethink and retool your thinking on, okay, what's the objective here?
And don't get defensive.
Yes.
Don't get defensive as you're trying to
the other person, come clean. Right? Yes.
Both. Because okay. sometimes when you're trying to come clean, right, or when mm-hmm. you've told a lie and you want to fix it, or before you tell the lie, you get defensive because you need to protect.
Yeah.
You're protecting your heart.
That's fear driving still.
Yeah, fear driving still, and you're protecting your heart. So mm-hmm. the reason I said this, or yeah. the reason I did this, yeah. or this is because this, you already start justifying before even getting to what yes. actually happened. Yes. So don't attack and yeah. don't defend. Just yes. simply state the truth
yeah.
in a loving way.
Yeah.
And work from that.
Yeah. So to wrap up, let me ask you this. If somebody is in a web of lies and they're looking to restore, should they go back and come clean with every little single lie that they've shared? How do they move forward? How do they fix this problem right now?
I don't know if they can remember every little lie they said if they're in a web. I think what they need to do is to sit down with their spouse. And more than every little lie, because again, we're talking about little things, right? We're not talking yeah. about major things. But more than expose every little lie is to talk about the reason why they're lying.
There you go.
Is to actually discuss, hey,
that's really good.
I find myself in this place where I need to protect myself from you, or I'm afraid of this or that or the other. I feel like yeah. I can't be myself with you. I feel like you're going to judge me. I feel like you won't love me.
And communicate that without putting the guilt on the other person.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So this is all me. These are the stories I'm telling myself.
Yeah.
Not that you have done anything, but this is where I find myself currently.
Yeah.
I am afraid. I feel vulnerable. I feel exposed. I feel whatever it is, right? Whatever yeah. it is, the feeling, name the emotion. And start there. Start why you feel the need
to
lie.
Yeah.
I think it's more important than, and obviously at some point you probably should discuss some of the things that you have lied.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll remember all of them, but you should discuss.
I say that that's much more important than the lie themselves. And you can come clean and say, hey, here's an example
yeah.
of what I've done.
Yeah.
So that you can paint a picture, right? You're not talking about infidelity. You're not talking about...
No, we're talking little lies here.
You know, you're not talking about a gambling addiction and now your family's finances are completely
yeah.
trashed. We're talking about your personal need to use lying as a device that mm-hmm. you think is building something good in your marriage, but you know it's corrupting it like yeah. rust. So bring that to the forefront. Come clean with your spouse. Explain why. Maybe all you need to hear from them is their assurance, them reassuring you of what you already suspect and know, but having them say it, hey, I don't think that. I don't disapprove you. I think you are great. And just hearing those words and connecting at that level will do the opposite of what lying does. It'll build trust.
Yeah. And sometimes we have in our head that our spouse wants something from us when they really don't. They have certain expectations of us.
It's very good.
When they really don't. Yeah. We've built this up in our head, and therefore
because
you got to pretend
because of how you were raised, the roles
yeah. and everything else, the society, whatever. So yeah. you might have this impression of your spouse when in actuality, they are not ever even thinking about it.
Yeah.
And so it might be such a different outcome.
Could be the opposite too, right? You might feel like they don't care, that they're not even in tune, that yeah. they're not even there.
Yeah.
And so all of those conversations are important, but they're only going to work if you have them. I think that's great content for you to apply, and I hope it blesses you. We hope it blesses you. But if you're a friend to the show, you know, it's not over.
Because
the people want to know.
They want to know.
So crank up the volume. Check this out.
Get ready. It's coming.
I just love that jingle.
I know you do.
It's such a great mood changer. Because, you know, Tales, Tips, and Trends is funny. This one is funny too, but this is guy funny.
You know, it's guy funny.
For all the guys that grew up with WrestleMania and WWE, like that's it right there. What do the people want to know, honey?
The people want to know, what is our couple song?
What is our couple song? I don't know. Like, this whole thing of having a song.
If you really love a woman.
We have that one.
That was how it started.
Yeah. You really care for going to rated R territory here. You gotta take her.
Okay.
You gotta hold her.
Okay. I think one of our couple songs is Tamia.
That is our couple song. Tamia and Eric Bennett. I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to play this. I don't know if we can play it in the podcast, but I'm going to do like 4 seconds. This is our couple song. Right? That's it, right? If you know, you know.
And if you don't know, you're missing out.
It's called Spend My Life With You by Eric Bennett, Tamia, and Kevin Katie Davis. It's a great song.
It is a great song.
Every time it plays, we dance to it. You're right. That is our song.
That is our song.
We have so many songs we listen to. I like to play those jazz classics. And that laugh that wrinkles your nose touches my foolish heart. So yeah, that's definitely our song. And I'm glad that you remembered. Not that I forgot, because
of course you did.
We have a repertoire of songs. If you are honest, like, we have a lot of songs that we love. But I think that's definitely number one.
Yeah.
Yes.
That'll be in the renewal.
That will be in the renewal.
All right, y'all. Much love to everybody listening.
Thank you for listening to our episode 8. I hope these podcasts have been blessing you.
Yes. Keep us posted. Ask us questions.
And do something. Do a favor for us. Share. If you like this podcast and you know couples that could use strengthening, and or maybe their marriage is great, but you know they need good content, share and subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you're in the loop and you can get that notification when we release a new podcast.
Yep. We'll see you next time.
Love you all.
Thank you for listening to Marriage with the Millers. Remember to subscribe and share. To submit a topic for our next conversation, send us a message on Instagram or email us at marriagewiththemillers@connectcommunity.org.